Chapter 7 Shelter in Place. Chapter 7 shifts the story from Peter and Thomas fighting for survival to those waiting anxiously on shore. Peter's parents, Sarah and Paul, knew that the boys left earlier that morning, that a dangerous storm passed through the area, and now they're unable to contact their son. They don't, however, know where the boys are now, nor do they know if the boys found shelter from the storm. And this gap in their understanding is most distressing. Sarah is overwhelmed by the need to act. She calls the police, the Coast Guard, the fire department, and anyone else she believes might help locate the boys. When the dispatcher instructs her to shelter in place, she hears the words, but the instruction collides with what she believes the situation requires. To remain at home while others search for Peter feels, to her, like doing nothing. Paul is equally concerned, but his response takes a different form. While Sarah speaks with the dispatcher, he looks for Peter's float plan and discovers that the boy is intended to follow one of Sarah's father's familiar sailing routes. He takes a picture of the plan and begins thinking through where they might have gone, what places they may know, and how he and Jim might search for them. His planning does not mean that he is untouched by fear. It's the way he is attempting to reduce his uncertainty and preparing to act. The chapter shows Sarah and Paul moving quickly from limited facts to imagined outcomes. Sarah imagines the danger her son may be facing and cannot bear to wait. Paul initially tries to reassure her by remembering the boy's familiarity with the route and the places where they might have sheltered. But as he thinks about Pendleton Point, he realizes that if the storm reached them there, they may have been blown into open water. His words of reassurance, "They're going to be fine," becomes an attempt to steady both Sarah and himself. The title, Shelter in Place, captures the chapter's central tension. The official instruction is reasonable: wait and remain safe until the storm passes. But for the parents, waiting feels almost unbearable. The chapter does not portray Sarah's urgency or Paul's planning as simple right or wrong responses. Instead, it reveals how fear, love, limited information, and imagined possibilities shape the conclusions people draw when answers are unavailable. It invites the reader to consider an important question: when fear and uncertainty press in, are we responding primarily to what we know, to what we fear may be true, or a mixture of both? Surface Reflections. What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most? What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter? Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable? What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you? Plunging deeper. When uncertainty overwhelms you, what do you naturally do to regain a sense of control? Do you make plans, gather information, stay busy, seek reassurance, take immediate action? Or something else entirely? What do those responses reveal about what you are believing and trusting? Number 2. Think about a time when you had done everything you wisely could yet still had no choice but to wait. What made waiting so difficult? Looking back, what did that experience reveal about what you believed you needed? Number 3. As the chapter progresses, both Sarah and Paul begin drawing conclusions about what may have happened to the boys, while much of the information is still unknown. Can you identify a time when you found yourself responding more to what you feared might be true than to what you actually knew? What beliefs might have been shaping your conclusions? Number 4. Paul repeatedly tried to reassure Sarah, and perhaps himself, that the boys were going to be fine, even though he was not convinced of it himself. Have you ever found yourself saying the right words because they sounded hopeful or spiritual, while your heart remained unconvinced? Why do you think we sometimes do that? Number 5. Looking back over your own life, can you identify a crisis in which your first responses revealed more about what you truly believed than the words you eventually spoke? What did God show you through that experience? Island Insights. When information is limited, our minds naturally attempt to fill in the gaps. Imagination kicks in and suggests all manner of what-if scenarios. Limited facts become intertwined with imagined outcomes. As a result, we often respond not only to what we know, but also to what we believe those circumstances might mean. We are not called to deny real danger or pretend that uncertainty is easy. But when information is limited, we often respond not only to what we know, but also to what we fear may be true. God sees the whole situation clearly, even when we cannot. As we wait, act responsibly, and face the possibilities before us, we can bring our conclusions and concerns honestly before Him and ask Him to help us distinguish between what is known, what is feared, and what He alone sees.